Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Stu does America.
Watch us free on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. We have Dan Andros here to talk about the transformation of the Mark Zuckerberg era at Meta. We'll talk to Mercury One about the situation on the ground in Los Angeles, but we're going to start by doing California's leadership disaster. And before we get into the leadership disaster, I want to maybe focus on one good example of leadership. We can point to a bunch of different people. It's hard to find anyone in government that fits that description. But one guy who does fit that description is this guy.
The house was built by my mother and father in 1960. And I lived here my whole life. So there's a lot of memories here. And I think I owed it to them as well to try my best to save it. But some things in life are worth fighting for. I mean, if I were to lose this house, it would be very difficult to afford to be able to build a new house, to pay the enormous property taxes they have here. What would I do? When I was out here hosing the house down and getting ready, and when the houses started to burn, I didn't see one single fire truck out here at all. Zero. If they had some fire trucks and just put a squirt here, a squirt there, and kept an eye on things, all these houses would be here now. I'm telling you right now, I saw it with my own eyeballs. All these houses, the houses behind me, they're all gone. They started with one little spark, one little small fire. They just squirted those out, had a few people out there. They'd all be here now. I did what I needed to do. I did what I wanted to do. I did what I thought I could do. And that's what I did.
Ah, man, you understand setting a mass evacuation order. You understand that. You want to keep people safe. If the fires, God forbid, burn out of control, what are you going to do? People could die. On the other hand, it's like, well, one of the reasons why they burn out of control is because no one's there to stop them, right? Of course, there's no water in a lot of these communities, but also just like this one guy with his hose could just keep hosing things down. He'd see an ember hit, he'd hose it down, it would be over. If everyone was kind of home, maybe a lot of these places would still be standing. It's a risk, it's a trade-off, but it's just a terrible situation no matter how you look at it, especially when you look at it through the eyes of leadership there. Karen Bass, who's absolutely terrible, I will remind you, one of the finalists for the VP slot for Joe Biden. Karen Bass. Before taking office, LA's mayor said she would not go abroad. She had been criticized for being out of the country when the wildfires broke out. And this is what the story is, because she was in Congress. She's gone on these trips all the time. This is what people in Congress like to do. They go on these trips. They're nobody's here. But when you go to Ghana, you're treated like you're king, right? Like they bring you in. They're like, oh my gosh, someone from America is visiting us. This is incredible. They treat you. They roll out the red carpet for you. Well, she really liked that part of her life that she had to give up when she went to Los Angeles and just be the mayor of some city in America. How boring. Anyway, that didn't exactly work out. In fact, she kind of ditched her city when it needed her the most. Ms. Bass was accustomed to circling the globe as Democratic member of Congress and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. It was one of the most absorbing parts of her political career. She told the New York Times in an interview on October 17th, 2021, I went to Africa every couple of months, all the time, adding that the idea of leaving that, especially the international work and the Africa work, I was like, I don't think I want to do that. She ultimately decided that she did, telling the Times that if she was elected mayor, not only that would she, of course, live there, but she would also not travel internationally. The only places I would go would be D.C., San Francisco, New York in relation to L.A. By the way, the New York Times next line in that story, quote, that pledge has been spectacularly broken. Not me saying that. It's the New York Times saying that. And of course, everybody in California is feeling this. 100,000 have signed a petition demanding that she resign. In fact, we checked the number after this headline came out. Now it's up to over 120,000, 120,759, probably a little bit higher than that right now. It is an embarrassment. and she is doing an absolutely terrible job. And she's getting kind of criticized from all fronts. It's not just the right. It's not just the moderates. It's not just libertarians. It's not just socialists, pretty much, at this point. Even celebrities are getting involved in it. Khloe Kardashian came out and spoke out against her. And now she's being slammed by some liberals for calling out Karen Bass over her response to the L.A. fires. On Friday, she took to Instagram to share a clip of Los Angeles Fire Chief Kristen Crowley calling out Bass's alleged budget cuts for the department ahead of the fires. "I stand by you, Chief Crowley. You spoke the truth and you had tears in your eyes because I can tell you didn't even want to say that, but it was the truth." Khloe captioned the video, "Thank you for being honest." And she continued, "Mayor Bass, you are a joke." Now, she's getting beaten up by that. And I'm not sure exactly why, because the one thing you need to know, Kristen Crowley is the fire chief. She is a lesbian. And you might say, well, why the hell would I need to know that in this situation? Well, she did say diversity was the number one goal of her fire department. But now that the fires are hitting, she's been much more focused on the fires, which is the right way to be focused. In fact, she actually is calling out the people who kind of screwed her over and her department over before all this happened. So when it comes to intersectional lines, I don't know who wins. Does Karen Bass win? Does the lesbian fire chief win? I don't know. All I know is that, you know, she's Khloe Kardashian's just saying the truth and apparently getting beaten up over it. I also know that there is not a news story that does not tie back to the Kardashians. All roads lead to the Kardashian household, just to let you know. Gavin Newsom is also absolutely terrible. And, you know, people are saying, well, you're racist. You're blaming Karen Bass. I don't know if you've noticed this. Gavin Newsom, white guy. Boring, freaking white guy. He thinks he's adorable when he looks at himself in the mirror for the 8 hours a day that he does. But generally speaking, he's just a boring white guy. Gavin Newsom launching a website now to fight misinformation about the fires. So he's not fighting the fires as much as he's fighting the misinformation about the fires. You know, one thing, instead of building websites, you could do is get water to the fires. That's one recommendation I would make. I'm all the way in Texas, though. What do I know? Here is the website, California Fire Facts, and it's got a picture of Gavin pointing at something that probably wasn't even there. Almost surely, considering him, he was pointing at nothing and just was doing that for a photo op. Or it's possible he, right as you see this photo, he's pointing at the next one of his best friend's wives he wants to have sex with. That's a possibility. Should always leave that as something that could occur. Gavin Newsom also concerned that Trump will try to withhold California aid. You know, as we know, this is going to be Trump's fault. We've got to figure out how to assign blame to Trump, but we know it will be Trump's fault eventually. Newsom this time is rolling this one out as excuse number 647 as to why he's completely let half of his state burn to the ground. He's done it in Utah. He's done it in Michigan. He did it in Puerto Rico. He did it in California before I was even governor in 2018. And until he found out that folks in Orange County voted for him, and then he decided to give them money, Newsom said. So he's been at this for years and years and years. It transcends the states, including, by the way, Georgia. He threatens similarly. So that's his style. And we take it seriously to the extent that in the past, it's taken a little bit more time to get federal aid. I've been pretty expressive about that in the context of someone threatening our first responders in terms of supporting the immediacy of their needs. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a first responder. You might know a first responder. Chances are that first responder voted for Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure even the DEI firefighters, the ones that were picked because they were lesbian or black or whatever, even they probably were voting for Donald Trump because they've seen how this works and they don't like Democrats in charge of these systems. It doesn't work out very well. Gavin Newsom and California Democrats have reached a $50 million deal to Trump-proof the state. Now, this is interesting because instead of fireproofing the state, they decided to Trump-proof it, which is great. It's a wonderful idea. Also not part of our Constitution. You can't Trump-proof your state. You can't executive branch-proof your state. That's not how it works. We have a system of government that has to operate. Now, there are protections, and the states have a lot of rights under our federalist system, but you can't just kick the president out of your state. That's not how this works. California Democrats have reached a $50 million agreement to shore up state and local legal defenses against the incoming Trump administration just a week ahead of the inauguration, which, by the way, I will be in Washington, D.C. to cover for you right here on Blaze TV. very excited about that. Half the money will go to fending off any mass deportation plan the new president might enact early in his administration. So they're just going to spend a bunch of your money trying to keep illegal immigrants here in the country. Trump wildfire comments are controversial, of course. Trump calling officials incompetent. I think most people agree with that. Trump said the fires are still raging in L.A. The incompetent politicians have no idea how to put them out. Thousands of magnificent houses are gone. Many more will soon be lost. There is death all over the place. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the history of our country. They can't just put out the fires. What's wrong with them? It's a good question. You might want to prepare a little bit, like set up trucks, get them all ready, fill them with water. There's this huge ocean right off the coast. You can get as much water as you need right out of that. It's called the Pacific Ocean. Put it in trucks, get it to these areas. If you had these trucks kind of pre-positioned, ready to go, this would be something very easy to do. Unfortunately, not occurring here. And I will say this, you know, Trump throws a lot of stuff out. My apartment's the most beautiful, the most glamorous, Mar-a-Lago, the most gold leaf that you can find anywhere in the world outside of a Saddam Hussein palace. All that stuff he says all the time. And, you know, he has some rhetorical flourish with those things. He says this: this is one of the worst catastrophes in the history of our country. Kind of, yeah. That's not an exaggeration. Like, this is their second biggest city. It looks like Nagasaki. This is insanity. This stuff shouldn't happen. And I've said this over and over again. I said it during COVID. That can never happen in America. I can't believe this is happening in America. Afghanistan. I can't believe that could possibly happen involved with America. Oh, my gosh, it's happening involved with America. Maui. Oh, my gosh, that couldn't happen in an American state. No way. It's happening in an American state. And here we are again in California, and I'm saying the same thing. This is happening a lot lately, boys and girls. Noticing that? You concerned about that at all? Sure, because I kind of am. Why over and over again are we seeing things that never could possibly be imagined in the United States over the past 4 years? And all of a sudden we're like, wow, I'm imagining it. It's happening right here in front of my eyes. It's scary. Of course, the media is doing what the media does. The California wildfires could be leaving deeper inequality in their wake, because we can't leave our left-wing nonsense out of a news article for even 5 minutes. A drive through the charred neighborhoods around Altadena shows that the fires also burned through a remarkable haven for generations of black families, because that's what's important. What color of skin do they have? And it's not that there's people being thrown out of their houses or burned to death. It's, well, what color skin is being burned? That's the only thing we care about, apparently. They can't avoid the discriminatory housing practices elsewhere. By the way, California's been in control of Democrats forever. And the only one, you have one, the one exception of that, you got Pete Wilson going way, way back. And then you got Arnold Schwarzenegger, certainly Schwarzenegger, pretty much a Democrat. Anyway, they have been communities of racial and economic diversity where many people own their own homes. And now some fear the most destructive fires in California's history have altered that for good. Recovery and rebuilding may be out of reach for many, and pressures of gentrification could be renewed. It's possible they might rebuild these neighborhoods even nicer. And that would be terrible for the people who live there. That's what we're told, at least. Look, I really do have empathy for these people who live there. And, you know, it's as the guy kind of pointed out in that video we started the show with. I mean, he's a white guy, so don't listen to him. But it's almost impossible to rebuild there if you're a normal person, because they're going to tax you to death. And the cost is going to be exorbitant. Most likely what you're going to have to do is sell this to a much more wealthy person who's going to build a nice big house in this area. And that's, look, that sucks. The fire is what sucks here. The nice big houses are not what sucks. It's nice to have new buildings and newer things, and that will be good. And maybe, you know, some of these residents will wind up choosing to move to another place. Maybe they won't be able to afford a house. Maybe they're not covered with insurance. A lot of these insurance companies are bailing out of California. Why? Because California's a freaking nightmare. And any sane company would bail the hell out of California, because the people running it are insane. Hopefully that changes. Hopefully this is the one thing that pushes people over the edge and say, OK, we can't do this anymore. This is nuts. We keep putting DEI chiefs in control of this country, and this is the result we get. And I will remind you, I've talked about it on this show, and I don't think I've heard about it anywhere else on a show. I read about it in the book by Michael Lewis about the COVID era. You know, Gavin Newsom, one of the first things he did, he had a woman who was in control, or was about to be in control of the health services in the country. This is pre-COVID. And He decided to, she had the rights, all rights to the job. She was going to be promoted into this job. He stopped the promotion and he put another woman who had absolutely no idea what she was doing in control of a health apparatus in California as COVID was going on, right as it was beginning, right at the very beginning. And he put her in there. Why? Because the person who was about to take control of the health apparatus, who was groomed for this job for years and years and years, was an infectious disease expert, but also happened to be white and blonde. A woman who was white and blonde. And I guess the woman was enough of the intersectional checkboxes to get her the gig. So they gave it to someone, a person of color, who had no idea what they were doing. That's his legacy. And that has been not really focused on enough. Hopefully, maybe it'll get focused on again here because he's blown this over and over and over again. By the way, the one excuse they have is climate change. Climate change plays key contributing role in LA fires. I love this. The fires, we don't know how they started. But as Axios says, whatever the source, it could be arson, could be Gavin Newsom intentionally setting the fires themselves, whatever. It's clear the changing climate made the fires more ferocious, longer lasting and destructive. This is their only way out. You know, California has painted itself into a corner with all of its policies over the years when it comes to land management, water management, DEI initiatives. All of this nonsense put together created a very unique circumstance for these fires to occur and exist the way that they did. And because every single reason why these fires have burned out of control like this points back to people like Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, they have to say climate change over and over and over again because it's the only thing that blames you. It blames you. It's your fault. You're the one taking your kids to baseball practice in a minivan in Ohio. You're the ones who are at fault here. Not us in California. It's people like you in Ohio and in Florida and in Georgia and in Texas and in Indiana. You people driving your SUVs. It's your fault, not theirs. That's the only way out for them. So they're going to keep doing it and doing it no matter what, because they have no other path to go forward. It's either admit they're terrible or say climate change over and over again. I'll give you one guess which one they're choosing. And you never know what's around the corner, do you? New Year's resolutions are here. They can be daunting, especially when they're important. Something as big as creating a trust or a will might feel overwhelming to you, but you also know it's about time to get it taken care of. The good news is trust and will makes creating those things easy. And I'm talking like, you know, laying around the couch easy. Their website is super easy to use. The process is straightforward. It is a step-by-step process that guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. And before you know it, you'll have that resolution marked off of your list. And you can be moving on to stuff that you actually enjoy, like watching football or something. It's very important that your family is prepared and protected in the event that something unfortunate happens to you. And with trust and will, you can make sure that every detail is buttoned up. Trust and Will has an overall rating of excellent and thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Get one of your goals off early. The list, you don't want it on the list. You want it sitting on that list for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Knock it off right now with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes with trustandwill.com/stew. Get 10% off plus free shipping. 10% off free shipping at trustandwill.com/stew. It's trustandwill.com/stew.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Whenever there's a massive natural disaster somewhere in the country or in the world, some of the first people on the ground are always from Mercury One. We've been seeing this pattern over and over and over again. And there's no exception here in California. I want to bring in JP Decker, executive director of Mercury One. JP, thanks for coming on, man.
Man, thank you so much, dude. Appreciate it.
I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. I know you've been involved in this from like the second it started. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a 50,000 foot view of what you guys are doing on the ground?
Yeah, well, you know, in any time a disaster strikes, we always you know, we want to be the first in and the last out. That's always been our goal through our partners, through, you know, our friends that are in these areas. And so what we did was reach out to all of our partners. Hey, where are you setting up? What needs to happen? And so we've sent hundreds and thousands of pounds of supplies to some of our partner church partners there, Harvest Church, all these other ones. And they're setting up their hubs. We saw this in Lahaina where locals will come together and just start gathering whatever they have and share it with anyone else who lost things. And so with something this massive, you know, there's going to be a need for years to come for people who just need the daily basics, the daily supplies of items. So we've provided things from toilet paper to food to dog food. That's what we're doing. But the other thing we did was we also reached out to Lowe's, which is a great partner of ours. But, you know, we always ask, hey, can we get hundreds and sometimes thousands of generators to certain areas?
Sure.
And this time, you know, North Carolina, we sent over 1,000 generators to that area and it was easy. But when I reached out to Lowe's this time, they said, well, there's a lot of regulations in California, so it's unfortunately going to take us a few days. So thank God it took about 2 or 3 days and they are actually being delivered today.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's really important. Of course, California makes it difficult.
Right.
But that's just, you're from there. You know that.
Yeah.
You probably, hopefully didn't vote for it, but I know people there did. That's the tough thing with this. Like, these people voted for these policies.
It is.
The government they wanted.
And the fact that when you look at some of this area, especially in that Southern California area, a lot of people don't realize some of those homes are from passed down generation to generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, it's true. There are very wealthy people there. But you can also live in $1 million home and not be wealthy.
Yes,
and
in California, that's definitely
California.
True.
And so a lot of these people, one, they weren't prepped for it. I talked to so many friends out there and they said, we've never seen anything like this. Obviously we deal with wildfires all the time, but something this massive is just crazy. And Mercury One right now is also filling up a semi truck of supplies here in Dallas, and it'll get to California, I think, the next couple days.
That's great. I think there is an impression that, you know, this is a bunch of celebrities out there and they've all, it's like their third and fourth vacation homes and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really the case. There's a lot of people who are just, you know, normal people who don't have the resources to back this up, and they really do. They do need help. You've been working, trying to keep people, all across the country in a situation where they can maintain some sort of life. I know this is not, it's not just California. You've also been working in North Carolina as well. And you're still working in North Carolina. I know it seems like a lot of people have forgotten about North Carolina. Mercury One hasn't.
Yeah. We have been there since the beginning. We really have. We worked really closely with Congressman Corey Mills, and we were on helicopters together. Never thought I would do that with Captain America, but we would go in and rescue people, lift them up and take them to safety. We dropped hundreds and thousands of pounds of supplies there as well. And, you know, now we're trying to do what FEMA's not doing, and that's provide people hotel rooms for the next few weeks. FEMA decided not to extend their voucher program, and they decided to shut their offices down in Asheville because of a winter storm that was coming. Mm-hmm. And so no one could reach out to get the extension. But they're saying, you know, well, it's the people's fault. And thank God, Mercury One stepped in and said we would take care of, you know, 40 up to 70 hotel rooms for 3 weeks for these people, just to find some hope and to stay warm, because they are getting hit by a winter storm right now.
Mm, that's really fascinating. Actually, we have some actual footage of this. Let me show you this. This is somebody who was affected by Mercury One.
Yes. My name is Stanley LaCarpentier. I live in Western North Carolina. And I have been fighting with FEMA to get them to give extensions instead of putting 1,200 people onto the streets in the middle of a snowstorm. And at the hotel I was at tonight, somebody from your organization called up and paid for everybody's extension for 3 weeks since FEMA dropped the ball. I've been a fan of Glenn Beck's and a Mercury One for a while. Have not been able to watch the show since the hurricane. And I just want to tell you people just how grateful I am that you guys showed up and you saved the life. Straight up, you saved the life of many people with what you did today at the Sunset Motel in Brevard, North Carolina. One of them is an 81-year-old man. The other is another is a family with three daughters. I love you guys so much for doing this. I'm also one of the people that you helped.
That is absolutely, what does that feel like to hear?
It's incredible to hear. Because when you put yourself in that position, you already lost everything. And now you're trying to find some kind of hope. Maybe you're trying to find a job, whatever it may be. And you're sitting in a hotel room with your kids, whatever it may be. And the fact that our donors are so incredible and they're willing to just, they trust us that we're going to use their funds to help restore the human spirit. And then to hear something like that is powerful.
It's really, really cool. And of course, you know, you had a lot to do with that. I will also say, you know, you in the audience had a lot to do with that. A lot of the people who support Mercury One are, of course, the viewers of the show, the radio show, Glenn's TV show, and The Blaze in general. So thank you so much for doing that. You've made a massive difference to not only people here in America, but all over the world. If you have the ability and can donate, where should people go?
MercuryOne.org.
MercuryOne.org.
Yep.
And they can do that there. Seriously, I mean, if you have the means, I can't think of a better way to use it, because the JP and everybody over there do an awesome job making sure that people really, you know, get the stuff that they need. And again, everything that gets donated to something like this goes to it.
It's 100% goes downrange, besides credit card fees if you choose not to pay it.
Yep.
And so it's amazing. It's something with a nonprofit that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
100% goes to help the people in need.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. One more thing, when you mentioned Corey Mills, I'm going to just throw this out there.
Mm-hmm.
If Ron DeSantis is looking for a replacement for Marco Rubio, I mean, Corey Mills would be a pretty interesting pick.
Yes, he would be.
What a good senator he would be.
He was an amazing human. He is an amazing human being. Just wants to help people. I'm a big fan of Corey.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's legitimately an incredible guy and would be a great addition to the U.S. Senate. If anyone in the DeSantis administration happens to be listening, just, you know, I know maybe you've talked to him a little bit about this. Let's make that happen. That would be fantastic. J.P. Decker, Executive Director for Mercury One. MercuryOne.org is the place to go to donate today. You can help people in California and North Carolina and all over the world. They're doing amazing stuff there. JP, thanks so much, man.
Thank you so much.
Let's say you're a failed Kamala Harris operative, right? You've gone through this campaign. You tried all this crap. None of it worked. You lost. You were embarrassed. And now you're trying to figure out what's next in life, right? And you're trying to kind of reframe your failure into a success. It wasn't your fault. Somebody else, probably Donald Trump, maybe Kamala Harris wasn't good enough, whatever the reason was. It was something other than you. You're awesome. You're an operative. You are awesome. And you're trying to get this out to the media. And you're having drinks with a friend and you say, hey, like, if we give you kind of a little exclusive here, right, let you know where we're going, what we're up to next, can you kind of give it a good treatment, kind of help us put a little shine on this turd? You do that and they agree to it and you give them the details and they get a story and they're breaking news, right? That's always a positive. But then at the end of the day, you're getting what you want out of it. Now, I'm not saying that that happened with this story, but let me just give you a totally separate piece of information here. A new story that's out. Exclusive. DNC taps Harris's viral wizards for new social media push. Oh, is that what they were? Viral wizards? They should have cast a spell that had her win. The Democratic National Committee is tapping veterans of the wildly popular Kamala HQ social media team for a new rapid response push ahead of Donald Trump's new return to office. Axios has learned, maybe over drinks with the exact people that we're talking about when they leaked the information to us. Now, I'm not saying that definitely happened, but yeah, that's probably what happened. Okay. Also, we have J.D. Vance talking about January 6th. This has been a little controversial. Let me play it for you.
January 6th pardons. President Trump says there's a process. Where is the line drawn on who will and wouldn't be considered for a pardon?
I think it's very simple. Look, if you protested peacefully on January the 6th and you've had Merrick Garland's Department of Justice treat you like a gang member, you should be pardoned. If you committed violence on that day, obviously you shouldn't be pardoned. And there's a little bit of a gray area there, but we're very much committed to seeing the equal administration of law. And there are a lot of people, we think, in the wake of January the 6th who were prosecuted unfairly. We need to rectify that.
I'm kind of with J.D. Vance on this. And I know there's some disagreement on the right whether the quote unquote violent protesters should be pardoned. I tend to think if they had excessive penalties, I think you could commute sentences. Some people, maybe there's a pardon that is, you know, they weren't actually violent. But, you know, look, I don't care what the left was doing that day or whatever, if you're hitting a police officer over the head with a flagpole, I have no problem with you receiving the appropriate sentence and serving it out. That's just me. I don't think it's a big ask to be able to look at the video. The video is available for most of these people. Look at the video, see what they did. If it's over the line, don't pardon them. If it's not over the line, pardon them. I'm totally fine with that. I don't think you need a blanket approach here. I think you can go case by case, even if it takes a few extra weeks to do it. So assign someone to do it, knock out the job, and make sure justice is appropriately dispersed. We've just passed 1,000 episodes recently, and we did do a top five countdown of non-Blaze guests, but, you know, guests that aren't associated with Blaze TV, and then Blaze guests. And this was our top five Blaze guest list. Five was Pat Gray and Rob Eno, who appeared 30 times. This is by number of appearances. Number four was Sarah Gonzalez with 42 appearances. Number three, Jason Buttrell, 78 appearances. Number two, Dan Andros, 81 appearances. And number one, Glenn Beck, 141 appearances. So that's what we have as far as our top five. There was some controversy on this because number two, Dan Andros, technically not an employee of Blaze TV. And some of the people on that list a little upset that he took that number two slot. We bring him on now is Dan Andros. He's managing editor at CBN News and host of CBN's Quick Start podcast. You can subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts. And Dan, you know, Jason Buttrell in particular, very angry at you for being three ahead of him and not technically being a Blaze employee.
Well, I'm not surprised. Jason Buttrell is an angry man. So, you know, I mean, he's just always looking for something to be angry about, I guess. I mean, and look, I don't know what's going on in Jason's life that makes him so mad. But look, if this is just one more thing, I apologize, Jason. I hope things turn around for you. And but I guess this moves me up the list a little bit, being that I'm here. Mm. But listen, I mean, facts. I mean, I hate to say it, but facts don't care about the things you feel, right? The emotions. Like, I'm sorry, but once a Blaze, always a Blaze, right? I mean, I would stack my Blaze tenure up against of virtually anyone there at the Blaze for
you were
eons,
here a long
eons.
Time.
I mean, it even felt like way longer than it actually was.
Believe me, for all of us, that's of course very, very true. I will say too, even if you weren't on that list, you still would be ahead of Jason. So you would just be on the other list, and you would be number one on that list. So right. I don't know what he's.
Right. So yeah, it's a moot.
It's just, you know, again, it's just part of this MAGA America, just angry people walking around all over the place with their flags and their motorcycles. And it's just sad. Let me get into the Mark Zuckerberg part of this conversation, because Zuckerberg it's an interesting time. We had this transition of Elon Musk from this like left wing climate activist into this right wing MAGA kind of guy. I don't even know if he would describe himself that way exactly, but that happened over a period of years. And then now we have Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg is he came out with a statement where he was going to turn down the censorship, I guess, on Facebook, apologizing for some of it, saying he made some mistakes. I know you watched his comments and watched some of the Rogan interview. What did you take from that?
I'm still on the fence here, Stu, because what was the threat that Trump made like earlier in the year? Like during the election, that if Zuckerberg and Meta was cheating, that he'd be like life in prison or something like that.
Sounds
wasn't
like
it something.
Sounds that way.
I didn't particularly remember it at the time, but I heard people talking about it, so I looked it back up, and yeah, that's what it was, something along those lines. So part of this feels to me like this could be just very much a just saving his own hide, you know, like man, Biden was yelling at us and stuff. But this is the same guy who spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try and, you know, get Trump to get Biden elected. So it's like it's hard to, I mean, he's saying the right things, but it's hard to take it seriously until I actually see some things. Because we all know, all of us in the media industry know that a Facebook has essentially become a barren wasteland of activity. It's just you throw stuff up there and it's like it doesn't even matter what the link is. They just it's like, we don't want you leaving this website in any way, shape or form. And so all links are just suppressed for the most part. Very few get an actual real reach. You know, but back in the early days of Facebook, it was like a really fun, exciting place that people could start a brand for relatively cheap and build a brand and get an audience and get a following and get millions and millions of reach and, you know, have a lot of fun with it and maybe make some businesses and create a exciting atmosphere where people would want to be. And now they've just ruined all that. And I swear Facebook has, I don't know how, I know my mom likes to comment on it and stuff. So, but like most people use it like I do, which is like a really good photo memory service, you know, like, I'm like, oh yeah, I did that in 2011. That was neat.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think that's kind of what they seemingly stated that they wanted to happen too, right? Like they wanted to make it less of a news service, less of argue less relevant, right? Like they pushed, hey, what do we want you to do on the service? We want you to see pictures of your friend's kid. And it's like, well, I mean, look, I like seeing pictures of my friend's kid. That's part of the journey, I suppose. But also, like, there's no urgency for me to be tuning into that every day. When Facebook was maybe at its peak and it was really a relevant thing for people to get their news, you'd see updates, you'd see perspective, you'd see a lot of that stuff out there. People built these giant followings on Facebook. And then one day Mark was like, you know, did the whole snap his fingers and turn the whole thing off. He destroyed a lot of websites and businesses doing that. And I think destroyed people's need to be back on the service over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with that 1,000%.
I thought you might.
And I actually think I still have wondered why a class action lawsuit hasn't come about. Because I think of all the brands and all the people that invested money, you know, you're talking tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising to get people with like interest. And it's actually, you know, the reason why Facebook's so big, it's a brilliant setup. You know, you can get the things you want, you know, the topics you're interested in, the people you're interested in, and you can get all that. And then you can build a brand around that and then market to people with similar interests. And so it's really effective marketing. But then what they did was they took all your money to find these people that have those like interests, and then they just stop your reach to them. I mean, I'm like trying to think of what kind of business model that would be like. It's like, you know what? I don't know. Like you open up a bunch of Taco Bells around the country, you franchise them, and then they're like, okay, that was nice that you built those buildings, but you can't have any of the tacos or something like that. Right. I don't know what the perfect analogy is, but it's just like, how do you make people invest this money in there and then just like restrict their access to do the thing they paid for it? I mean, that blows my mind still to this day.
I totally agree with this, and I'm shocked there hasn't been a big effort at some sort of class action lawsuit. Now, I assume the Facebook contracts that, you know, the agreements, those thousands of pages that no one reads, probably have carve outs for them to do whatever they want. But still, it's one thing for people to waste their time, right? Like, and I think that happened to a lot of people. They built giant followings organically and then wound up having no access to that audience anymore. And that's bad enough. But then the people that kind of came in and said, hey, we're gonna spend money so we can make sure this message gets out so that people can see our pages that have the like interest. You collect an audience of 300, 500,000, a million people, and then you post something and they serve it to only 1,400 in that audience. And it's like, wait a minute. Like you enticed me to come in here and spend all this money to build this audience, and now you won't let me reach that audience.
Yeah. It's really wild. And I think that's why podcasts are growing so big, Stu, because it's like you subscribe to a podcast and then you get the podcast that they put out.
Yeah.
Like there's a novel idea. Mm-hmm. I just really hate algorithms. I don't know how you feel. On the one hand, they're brilliant because they do, you know, they serve you up things and you're like, yeah, I really want to click that. You know, you're like, how did they know that I wanted that? You know, like I keep getting like, I play basketball. I like basketball. And I keep getting these like random, like watch this guy at the playground school,
right?
You know, this old guy school and all the, I'm like, yeah. Like, and next thing I know, I'm watching like four of those, but it's like, so it's brilliant on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, I just want to see what I subscribed for. Like, just let me see those things. I clicked them and, you know, maybe have an algorithm tab. Like if I want to see the algorithm tab, great.
Yeah. You know, who does a good job with that is X. I mean, I have
X does. Yeah.
Yeah. I have like one that's following And you know, yeah. You had that one, and that's the one I'm always on. I'm never on the one where I want them to suggest things
for
to
you.
Me. No. I never need that. I never need it. I never go to it. I go to the one with following because I've curated a bunch of people that I want to hear what they have to say. So that should be the way that this works. Let me give you one more here before we go, because this is an interesting theory a friend of mine proposed, which was, you know, Elon Musk had this transition, and at the beginning, we all kind of like were like, I don't believe this. He's like a left-wing climate activist. Right. And then he kind of came around and adopted some other things and made some progress. You're like, oh, maybe he is on our side or whatever. What we're at the beginning of that potentially with Mark Zuckerberg. And a friend of mine who's like a big tech nerd kind of made the observation that one thing we should at least consider, he's like, I don't think this is definitely what's happening. I don't even say it's above 50%. But one thing we should consider is that maybe Mark Zuckerberg is just growing up. He's now 40 years old, and it feels like forever. We've seen this guy around us forever because he's been around forever, but we've known him since he was like in college. And maybe like a lot of adults, you know, as you go through life, you kind of, life hits you in the face a little bit. You see that these people that are promising these wonderful outcomes are actually not all that wonderful. And maybe he's just kind of growing up and recognizing actually where I was a few years ago is wrong.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's a real possibility of that, especially when you see the things he's saying, like that the Biden administration was like screaming at them for having things that he said were true on there. I mean, there's only so much of you that you can take, right? Like, I think they took the goodwill of, we need to help during this pandemic and not have people die from, you know, injecting carburetor fluid into their bodies, you know, like stuff like that. Like, okay, you get people in on that, but then you take it. And you take it a step further, and then you try to moderate literally everything, and you're screaming at them. So maybe that's part of it. I think it's possible. I also was intrigued by his response to the Trump assassination attempt.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of spoke in Trump. He was pretty impressed by Trump's response, which I found an interesting response. I was like, he wouldn't be saying that. That's before the election. If because like, that's one of those things where in liberal circles, you can't say that.
Right.
Right. Like if you're in liberal meta where everyone is a TDS, you know, curl in the corner if Trump wins, you can't go out and say that and then walk back into the office the next day. You know, all those guys are probably hoping that he died. I mean, like you see a lot of liberals saying that, right? Like, oh, you don't miss, you know, like that kind of nonsense. So that's the climate he's coming from. So to say that, I thought actually was more important than I think people thought.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, again, until I actually see change on this website, like if I see, whatever community notes and things like that, then I'll really start to believe it. The other thing on this is that Facebook notoriously just copies all of the new things that come out. Like when Periscope came out, they're like, oh, we'll just do Facebook Live. And then nobody wanted to do Periscope. And he said that like, oh, I see what they're doing over there. It looks really good. And then with community notes. And so we'll just do that, which I mean, as lame or not as that might be, at least he's doing it because community notes is clearly better than trying to just block stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, there's something to the effect of going through a situation where he's in his own like telling of the story. He's in goodwill and good faith trying to, go along with these health recommendations. And then he veers off of the path a little bit of what the government prefers. And Joe Biden comes out and does a press conference saying they're killing people. Like that's got to affect you in some way, I would think, you know, I mean, so we will see. I don't, again, as you point out, this is very true. The proof is in the pudding. Let's see what he does. But I mean, at least encouraged a little bit by the words. Dan Andros, managing editor.
He could not be saying any of those things. And then that would be really bad.
Yes.
So at least he's doing this.
We will see. It could very well just be CYA as well. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Dan Andros, managing editor, CBN News. And also apparently The Blaze. Make sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast. Head over there and subscribe today. Dan, thanks so much for all of your appearances on the show and all the work you've done behind the scenes as well. Dan, thanks so much.
Anytime, especially once Jason comes on, then get me on again.
Okay. Okay. So here's what happened. Basically, the story is we had a really good country and it was the best country ever created. And then we got creepy. Really creepy, and we're getting creepier. This could be your AI robot girlfriend for $175,000. That's the picture of her right there. Doesn't she look beautiful? Not creepy at all. Not creepy at all. Very, very strange. They are really selling these things. And by the way, if you don't like her face, don't worry. You can always peel her skin off and replace it with a new face. This isn't weird at all. By the way, this is all at CES. You can actually, I mean, they're not all $175,000. There's a $12,000 bust. It's not just a bust of a woman. It is actually the face and the shoulders. But talking head and shoulders that you can place on a table, or a mid-range model costing $150,000 that can be disassembled and packaged into a suitcase to take with you in case you wanted to practice murdering hookers.